Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hi, friends, and welcome to the show. We have a great topic for you today. We are going to talk about praying for your children. And in any other time in history, I've been a mom now for quite a while. My oldest is 20, and I feel convicted to pray for my children even more than I ever have. And if you've been following along with our 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting, you will remember and recall that week one back in January of 2024, our first habit that we talked about was prayer, because I am convinced that nothing else is possible in parenting without the power of prayer. This week's habit that we're talking about is actually playing, but I feel like families who play together and pray together, they have a significant advantage. And we'll be talking more about play throughout the week and the importance of having fun in a world that seems so heavy and so scary. We need to remember that our kids need to see us having joy and having fun. But we have got a really special guest for you today to talk about praying together and praying specifically for your kids. We are so honored to have Sharon Janes. Now, for 10 years, Sharon served as vice president of Proverbs 31 Ministries, and she's co-host for their daily radio feature. She is the author of, get this, y'all, 24 books with multiple publishers, and she has written many, many magazine articles and devotions for publications like Focus on the Family, Extraordinary Women, Decision, Crosswalk, you name it, she is there. She is a frequent guest on radio and television programs such as Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss, Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey, and Focus on the Family. She currently writes for Proverbs 31 Ministries Encouragement for Today Devotions and teaches at their She Speaks conference, which I have heard her speak there before. And beside her own books, she has also been a contributing author in many books, such as Chicken Soup for the Sports Fan Souls. I think she won my husband's heart right there. Stories for the Teen's Heart, Stories for the Man's Heart, and the Women's Devotional Bible. Her books have been translated into several languages, including Spanish, Portuguese, Polish, and Korean. She has just done so much. And today we're going to be talking about her new book, Praying for Your Child from Head to Toe, a 30-day guide to powerful and effective scripture-based prayers. Sharon, thanks so much for stopping by the Dr. Nurse Mama Show today. We are so grateful to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you today.
Well, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself? How did you come to know the Lord and develop a heart for ministering to women?
Hey, well, you know what? It's a really long story, but I'll see if I can give you a cliff notes here.
Okay.
I always say I came to Christ through a praying mother, but it was not my mother. I was raised in North Carolina, a small little town called Rocky Mount. My family had a nice house, nice neighborhood. We looked like nice people. Dad had a great job. Mom had her own business. I had an older brother and a collie dog named Lassie, of course.
But there
was a secret behind the door of that home, and the secret was that my dad had a terrible drinking problem, and when he would drink, he'd get very violent. When he'd get violent, he just terrorized our home. My parents fought both verbally and physically in front of me, and I saw things a little child should never see. Heard words a little child should never hear, the very opposite of what you're trying to accomplish, you know, with your program here. We were the opposite of that. But when I was 12 years old, I started staying down at a friend's house that lived on the next block. And I loved being at their home because the mother, she was just wonderful, Mrs. Henderson. And she was so happy, and she would go around the house singing little praise songs about Jesus. And I got to watch what a married couple was supposed to be like, as Mr. and Mrs. Henderson loved each other. And eventually, she told me about Jesus Christ, and I ended up telling her about what was going on in my family. And I, you know, even as a little girl, you know, I still wanted a daddy who loved me. I wanted that. I longed for it, even though I was terrified of my own father. And she told me I did have a father who loved me. She had a heavenly father who loved me. And she mentored me for those 2 years when I was 12, 13, 14. And then I accepted Christ when I was 14, again, through this same woman. Now, we don't have time to go into this today, but I'll tell you this. 3 years after I gave my life to Christ, my mother gave her life to Christ, again, through really the influence of the same mom and my teenage praying friends. And then my father, it was that mean father I had, that violent man, that man who drank. 3 years after my mom came to Christ, my dad gave his life to the Lord and became one of the sweetest men I've ever known. That is a very miraculous story of what happened in his life. But you see, it all started with a praying mama. It just wasn't my mama. But as you talk about having strong families, there are people watching. There are people in your neighborhood watching. There are other children watching. And I was watching this other family who just loved the Lord so much, and I wanted what they had. So not only as we've got our own families, we've got people watching us, and we're sharing the love of Christ with them as well. And you never know. There might be a Sharon out there somewhere that's watching your family, and you can share Jesus with them, and maybe it'll transform their whole family.
Well, that is an incredible story, Sharon, and really a great reminder to us that people are watching. If you do have a Christian family, you can provide so much hope and a safe space for a kid that really needs it. And, you know, Sharon, the book that I wrote is called Behind Closed Doors, A Guide for Parents and Teens to Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues. And the reason that I titled it that was because I knew, as a person who had experienced trauma behind a family that looked perfect, and as a nurse practitioner who was meeting patients behind closed doors, I know that life is not as it seems. And I think that's a really important point for our listeners to grasp onto, to remember that in this world of social media, everything is not the perfect facade that people put up. And we need to have that mindset that there may be somebody that's hurting that could really benefit from your ministry. And I know, you know, even when my husband was growing up, he was invited to a youth group by a friend, and that laid the foundation for his faith. And that family, we are still, actually, they ended up introducing us like many, many years later. Aww. And have played such a story. And, you know, his family has come to the Lord through that. So I totally relate with all of that that you're saying. Well, how did you go from traumatized and, you know, all of that you experienced, and yes, experiencing the miraculous encounter with Christ, but how did you start ministering to women yourself?
Well, actually, you know, one of the things I love teaching on is identity in Christ, because even though I became a Christian when I was 14, all those feelings that I developed before that time, the feeling I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, my parents don't even love me, who will? I mean, so many negative thoughts tumbled around in my head. And as you know, those did not go away the moment I became a Christian. And I honestly just carried them over into my adult life. And after a while, I had a new I'm not good enough, and that is I'm not a good enough Christian. I can't pray like other people. I still struggle with the same old things. And so as most people, I carried all that with me into my adult life. But when I was, and here's that but again, but God. When I was in my 30s, there was a woman in my church. I went to those young moms Bible studies, and I had that smile on just like the rest of them did. But I always walked around this feeling one day I'm going to be found out that I'm not all I'm cracked up to be. And I started teaching some of those Bible studies. But there was an older woman in my church who, she just really had the gift of discernment and knew that there was something not quite right with me. And the problem was that I was felt so inferior and inadequate around those other ladies. And she just really began to teach me about who I really was as a child of God. Told me to go through the New Testament, make a list of everything God said about me. And then she began to teach me how to renew my mind with the truth. And I'll tell you this, Jessica, if I hadn't have experienced that and learned how to renew my mind with the truth of what God says about me, rather than the insecurity and inferiority and the inadequacy that I carried into my Christian life, I would have never ministered to women, because I would have never felt like that I was good enough. But I began to transform the way I think. And then as God began to show me, you know, look at some of the titles of some of my books. One, for example, is called When You Don't Like Your Story, What If Your Worst Chapters Could Become Your Greatest Victories? And that's what I help women do. I wanted to help them to know how to take what they've been through in their past, let God heal them from that, and then turn around and use it to help somebody else. And it tells us in Revelation, it says they overcame him, talking about Satan. Mm-hmm. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Mm-hmm. So there's so much power in our stories. And that's actually how my dad came to Christ. He started going to church with us, but he said, I could never be a Christian. Too many things I've done in my life. No one, God could never forgive me. But then he met a man. And my dad told him his story, and he's a pastor. And he said, now, Alan, let me tell you what I've done. And my dad said, I knew that if God could forgive him and he could be a pastor, he could forgive me too. So that's how much power our stories have. But in order to use our stories for good, we've got to go through that healing process, that process of being healed from the shame, healed from the pain of what we've gone through. We've got to learn how to forgive other people and to forgive ourselves for the mistakes that we've made. And once we do, then we can go in and minister to other women with the, as it says in Scripture, we can comfort others with a comfort that we ourselves have been comforted with. Because I believe God doesn't comfort us just to make us comfortable. He comforts us to make us comfort able so that we can then use what we've gone through to help other people. And, you know, going back to praying for a child from head to toe, that really comes out of that whole thing. Because see, there was a woman who prayed for me. And once I had a child, I wanted to use the same kind of praying that she used with me. She didn't use the same pattern, but she prayed for me. And I wanted to make sure that I was praying for my own child and praying over ways that I didn't, sometimes I just didn't know what to pray. But we can always know that when we're praying the Word of God, we are praying the will of God. And that's the beauty of praying Scripture over our children.
You know, Sharon, but God stories are just my favorite in the history of ever. And they're all throughout the Bible. We see flawed characters that God uses. We see over and over, you know, Moses saying, I am slow of speech, like I can't do this. And God giving him that very thing, because we know it's through our weakness that Christ's strength shines through. And that's what it is. And actually, in my book, I have what I call a but God Easter egg in every single chapter, because that is the crux of everything. And I think so often, Sharon, you know, when we're looking at our Christian journey, we're looking at the destination. We're looking at, okay, well, once I, you know, get my prayer life together and I'm going to church regularly and I've got, you know, these behavioral struggles that I have, like I've got those under control, then I'll be a good Christian, you know? And we look at it in such a legalistic and ritualistic way, and we apply that same principle to our parenting journey. But when we start to realize that it's about the journey along the way, not the destination, I say so often, I think of when God told Abraham, get up and go to the land that I will show you. And if we have trust to just walk with God every day, just like the Israelites did with manna for the day, God gives us what we need for that day, for our lives, for our parenting journey, He will bless that. And sometimes I think we're just so impatient, we want to get to the end, but we miss the miracles that happen along the way. And I'm just struck by the similarities in our stories, Sharon, because my father-in-law also came to know the Lord in a very similar way. My husband had written him a letter, and when he saw a colleague who was struggling with something, this colleague was struggling with alcoholism and said, you know, my kids are never going to love me and forgive me. And my father-in-law pulled out that letter that he had carried in his wallet for years and not said anything about, and said, yes, they can. I've seen how God has changed my son. And I know that He can change you. And I want this for myself. Well, when we come back, Sharon, we are going to dive in to this book and talk about how prayer is a parent's greatest superpower. And we will talk about how you specifically advise mothers and parents to pray for their kids from head to toe, starting with their mind and ending with their feet. And I cannot wait to talk to you about this practical and encouraging guide. You need to get a copy. You need to take this 30-day journey and not look at the destination, but look at what God will teach you in the journey. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Sharon Janes. Little things can make a difference. A little note, a little smile, the small stone that David hurled at Goliath, and precious little babies. When you sponsor an ultrasound at preborn, your gift, no matter how small, makes a difference in a big way. Who will this little baby become? What giants will this baby slay? How about the mother who was spared from unspeakable sorrow because of you? You never know the difference you're going to make with a donation of just $28 to introduce a mother to her child through ultrasound, which doubles a baby's chance at life. All you have to do is take a few small minutes to make a life-saving donation. Preborn will take it from there as their network of clinics rescues 200 tiny babies every day and shares God's love with mothers. Preborn has a 100% charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Get involved today by dialing #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, friends, to this really encouraging conversation we are having with Sharon Janes. She is a writer, a speaker. She currently writes for Proverbs 31 Ministries, and she's written a new book. She has 24 books, but this is the book we're talking about today, Praying for Your Child from Head to Toe, a 30-day guide to powerful and effective scripture-based prayers. And Sharon, I have to tell you, I started doing this as a mom when my oldest daughter became a teenager. We were in perpetual conflict, and I didn't have a healthy relationship with my mom. I did not know what I was doing. I was a pediatric nurse practitioner guiding parents on how to, you know, parent their kids, and I felt like a failure that I just was not doing it myself. And one of the first thing that I started to do in transforming my parenting journey was praying for my children, praying for them by myself, praying for them quietly, praying for them aloud. But the most transformational thing I did was praying scriptures over them out loud so they would know what I was praying for them. And, you know, it's as a mom, if my kids are feeling afraid, I can say, hey, don't be afraid. I'm here. It's going to be okay. I love you. And that's not a bad thing to say, but it's so much more powerful to follow that up with something like, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And I pray that God would give you power in this moment. And that is what we're going to talk about today. So talk about the inspiration for this book. And I really want you to tell, in the opening of this book, you described the first moments of becoming a mom in a way that is so relatable. We all think we're prepared, but the truth is, we are not prepared. We have no idea what's coming. So what has God taught you in your journey as a mom?
Yeah, the one thing that, you know, I talk about at the very beginning is how my husband and I, when we had our first child, you know, we took this 6-week class at the Red Cross, and we
six
were going to be ready. We were going to do it right, you know. But, you know, when Stephen was born, he was not made of plastic. I couldn't leave him on the counter and take a break. And I hope this is okay to say on the radio, but, you know, the poop was real, and so was the love. So it was very, very different. And, you know, the truth is that God has given us moms the privilege and the real responsibility to shape and mold not just a human being, but an eternal soul. And when you think about that eternal soul, that's really different, isn't it? This is serious here. And that privilege is just for a very short, very fleeting period of time. So I thought, what am I going to do with this time and all this that I don't know how to do? One thing I can do is pray. And we know, as you mentioned in our first segment, together today, that there is such a struggle, just all out war for the hearts and souls of our children today. I think more so than ever before in history. And as we pray, one thing we need to always remember is that Paul tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then he goes through the scripture on putting on the full armor of God. And he also says, though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. See, that is why when we are praying for our children, we are praying the Word of God. Because sometimes, honestly, we don't know what to pray. But when we pray the Word of God, we know we're praying the will of God. And here's the thing, too, Jessica, is that as we see from these two scriptures, this is a spiritual battle. Well, we can, as I think our first knee-jerk reaction as praying, when we're praying for our children, is to pray for their actions and pray for their reactions. We want to pray for, you know, how they're acting. But listen, we need to back it up way before that. We need to be praying for the spiritual realm that's going around, surrounding our children. And we've got divine power to do that when we're praying the Word of God. You know, that I love that when you go back and you look at the original divine power in Scripture, that Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, that divine power is where we get the English word. It's called, well, it's dunamos in the Greek. Excuse me, dunamos in the Greek, but it's where we get the word dynamite. So you got dynamite, you got nitrogen and glycerin, you put them together, and boom, you got dynamite. Well, when you have the Word of God in prayer, you put those together, boom, you've got dynamite power. So that's why we're going to go through, starting with their mind all the way down to their feet, and praying Scripture over these different areas in their lives.
Oh my goodness, I had not heard that. I love that, thinking that we have dynamite at our disposal. And I, you know, when we're talking about the battle for our children, we all feel it. And honestly, Sharon, as parents, we look on the horizon and it is dark. It is terrifying. We are constantly hearing about a new threat for our kids, especially coming through the smartphones and, you know, social media. And those things are not bad in and of themselves, but my goodness, they are such effective tools to make a kid trip and fall and to ensnare them. And I think that fear-based parenting is just an epidemic in this country. You talked about a knee-jerk reaction and a reactive approach. And that's what happens. We hear of something scary or our kid encounters a struggle, and then we're going to be on our knees. Then we're going to be praying. But I think that you are talking more about a proactive approach, praying when things seem good, praying before those encounters come. Can you talk a little bit more about the importance of that?
Well, the importance of it is that let's just start with the mind, for example. We're going to go through each of these areas very quickly.
Yeah.
But when we're going to start at the top and pray for the mind, and this is what a child thinks about, because we know what a child thinks about will ultimately determine what they are about. So we're going to pray Scripture over their mind. And how does that relate to what you just said about waiting till after something happens? Well, when we pray for action or reactions of a child, we're going to back it up and pray for the mind, which, you know, before an action occurs, there's the thought, right? So we're going to pray for what they think about before that action occurs. We know that Scripture tells us, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. And isn't that what we want for our kids? Not to just do what everyone else is doing and be sucked in by social media and the comparison that they feel when they're looking on social media. And let me just say a word about comparison, too. I mean, there's always been comparison. There's been comparison since Cain and Abel, right? Been from the very beginning. But we're on such a different level of comparison these days, because the kids aren't comparing themselves to the kids at school. They're comparing themselves to the kids around the world with social media and what they're seeing on the Internet. So we're going to pray for their mind and what they think about. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're going to pray about what comes into their mind, what tumbles around in their mind, what they're thinking about, praying that they'll think godly thoughts, that God will protect their mind. And so that praying for the mind first is preempting that immediate reaction of praying once something happens. So that's what we're starting at the mind, right there, what they are thinking about.
Well, let's go through the other areas, and we're going to go through this quickly, but listeners should know that you take each of these in a 30-day journey, and you go into them in detail, but this is what we're praying for. So I'm just going to call these out, and Sharon, you give us a brief overview. So you say, pray for their eyes, what they look at.
And let me say this to Jessica. It's going to take us more time to explain it than it is for the parents to actually do it. So don't get worried if you think, I don't have enough time to do this every day. It'll take you about 7 minutes to cover your child from head to toe with scriptural prayer each day. And in the book, there are 30 days, and you're going to go 16 areas in 30 days, about 7 minutes. So you just mentioned eyes. This is what they look at. We're going to pray scripture each day over what they look at, what they're turning their eyes to. We're going to pray for their ears. This is who and what they listen to. And listen, just with the eyes, what they see and what they look at is two different things. But you can't control what they see, but you can't control, we can pray about what they look at. Same thing with the ears. They can hear things, but you can be praying about what they actually stop and listen to. And this isn't just what, but who. Because if your child listens to the wrong voice, they're going to make the wrong choice. So again, praying scripture. There's 30 scriptures on praying about what they're listening to. We're going to pray for their mouth. We know that scripture says death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? So we're going to be praying for the words that come out of their mouth. We knew that God told the Israelites, you mentioned Israelites in the first segment. He said to them, I will do the very things I heard you say. Very important. But I want to say this too, and I bet you've said this on your program before. You know, this saying, monkey see, monkey do the same as you, right? So we can pray for their mouth, and we pray for the words that come out of their mouth. But listen, they're listening to you, Mama and Daddy. They're listening to the words that you say, and they're going to end up repeating that. If you grumble, they're going to grumble. If you're negative, they're going to be negative. So we're going to pray for their mouth, but we're also going to give them a good example as to the words to say. We're going to go down, and we're going to pray for the neck. Now, this is what turns the head. The neck turns the head. So when we get to the neck, we're praying for the decisions that they make. But it's turning their head to make decisions, because we know decisions determine destinies and choices create histories. And that's whether we're talking about the history of the world or our own personal histories. So, you know, sometimes, Jessica, don't you wish that God did not give us the gift of choice? I mean,
yes.
If we just automatically just did
exactly
life all the time. Yes, but he did give us the gift of choice, and he gave our kids the gift of choice too. So we're going to be praying for their choices. I'm going to take a breath and let you pipe in here.
No, that's absolutely great. And I would say, emphasizing that 7 minutes, you know, Sharon, I do not think this is a coincidence, but if you have an iPhone, every Sunday morning, like as I'm walking into church, usually I get a little alert that says, here's your weekly report on how much time you spent on your phone. And I guarantee you, I will confess right here in front of all of our listeners, I spend more than 7 minutes a day on my iPhone. I do. It is true.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, a lot of times we really have to choose to prioritize that. And when we really, if we really believe what we're saying, that prayer is the foundational weapon that we have in protecting our children and fighting for their hearts, you know, because I talk a lot on this show about fighting against culture, which has its time and place. But sometimes we do that to the point where we forget what we're fighting for. And we're actually fighting for their hearts. And this is so important. Mm-hmm. And then going back down, we're at their shoulders. Mm-hmm. They've got burdens and worries just like we do. So how do we pray for those?
Yes, they do. So, you know, it's funny, my little four-year-old niece, I was talking to her. We were doing a FaceTime, actually, and she had just gotten a new guinea pig. She was telling me about Skitters. And then I said, well, I had a guinea pig when I was your age. And then she starts saying, well, what happened to him? Did he die? The guinea pigs go to heaven? And I'm like, oh, we need to get your mom on the phone now. But you know, I'll say she's worried. She's already worried. She's 4 years old. And kids are worried today about so many things. They're worried about girlfriends, boyfriends, tests, grades. Are they too small? Are they too large? Are they being accepted or rejected? They worry about sexual molestation, bullying, natural disasters. Now they got pandemics. I mean, there's so much to worry about. And the stress has increased exponentially among children in the past 30 years. So we really need to be praying for their shoulders. As Peter says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. So as you mentioned earlier, we're going to be praying this for our children, but let them hear you pray it and tell them those scriptures also. And then we get to that heart that you just mentioned, praying for who and what they love, because we know out of the heart, the wellspring of the heart, everything else comes. And I think the mind and the heart are so tied together there, because what you think about is what you are about, and what is in the heart is what you're going to live out. So praying for their heart, we're going to pray for their back. That's their physical and spiritual protection. We've already mentioned that the importance of the spiritual warfare that's going on. So we're going to pray for their spiritual protection. You know, I mentioned earlier that Paul talks about putting on the armor of God, and everything is protected except the back. So we're going to be praying that God's got their back, praying for spiritual protection.
Love
then it. We're going to pray for their arms. This is that often the scripture we see that it talks about the strong arms of God. So his strength is kind of personified in arms. So we're going to be praying that their will have strength that comes from God, that there'll be a conduit through which God's strength will flow. We're going to be praying that they'll be strong in character and courage and purpose to be all that God's fashioned them to be. And again, none of this is my opinion. It's all we're praying scripture for each one of these areas. We're going to pray for their hands, and that's their gifts and talents. Now, one thing I say is that when we are praying for our children, it's not the gain control of our kids to make them who we want them to be, but it's releasing control so that they will be who God wants them to be. And this is so true with their gifts and talents. We're going to be praying that they will discover what their unique gifts and talents and abilities are, and we're going to be in tune to that and help them to develop into what God wants them to be, so that they can glorify God really in all their endeavors.
Yes, this next section that you're going to talk about, this is so important, Sharon, because I think for the first time in history of the world, parents are really replaceable. Now, hear me out, because, you know, before, like, if you didn't like the way that your parents treated you, you're kind of stuck. You know, they provided you food, they provided you shelter. You know, you might have people in your community who you could go over to their houses. But now kids will go to social media. Even if you tell them they can't have it, they can access it so easily. And if they don't like what parents tell them, they can just find an online echo chamber that tells them, oh, your parents are out of touch. They're, you know, so far behind. They're so unenlightened. And if your parents cut off your money, well, fine, I'll just sell my stuff on social media. I can make money over Venmo or that kind of thing, you know? I mean, and even if you don't want to live with your parents, you can just say, oh, your friend will say, hey, come. I'm meeting you across the country. Like, just come and meet me. We're friends. We know each other online. So when we come back, Sharon, I want to talk about how we pray for those things in their relationship and their sexual purity. And, you know, and their future spouse. So we have so much more to talk about. And this is so relatable from Sharon's book. God has given us as parents the privilege of shaping not just a human being, but an eternal soul. That responsibility can feel overwhelming, but we can truly pray for our kids rather than fall into a spiral of worry. When we come back, we'll talk about those other areas and we'll talk about praying for prodigals. Don't go away.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to my conversation with Sharon Janes. And, you know, I told Sharon during the break, I just feel the passion coming up from her soul. And this is something that we should be passionate about as parents. We should be passionate about prioritizing prayer. And she is the author of Praying for Your Child from Head to Toe, a 30-day guide to powerful and effective scripture-based prayers. And Sharon, you know, before the break, I was telling you that as I've learned more about praying for my kids, one of the things I've done is my kids have started to go off to college, is they'll say, you know, will you pray for me? I'm having this test, or will you pray for me and this, you know, conflict I'm having or this decision that I'm making? And I used to say, Yeah, yes, of course, I'll pray for you. But now what I do is I hit that voice memo button on my phone and I just give them immediately a prayer. Now they don't text me back and say, oh, thank you, Mom, that was life-changing and I'm so appreciative of your time. But I see a little heart and I see it says they kept a message from me. And I know that they're playing those. And so that's just something that's there. But let's go back. And I want you to, you have a story to share too, but let's talk about this praying for the ring finger, their future spouse.
Right. We just prayed for their hands before the segment ended. And now we're to the ring finger. So this is praying for their future spouse. And I think, you know, besides coming to Christ, which is the most important decision they'll ever make, this is the second most important decision that our children will ever make, is choosing that spouse. So, you know, I started praying for my son's spouse at a very early age. So I mentioned also at the very beginning that I came to Christ through a mother, not my mother, but another, my friend's mother who was praying for me. So basically when you're praying for your child's spouse, you're praying for a child you don't even know yet. It's very important that we're going to pray for that child's spouse, and we're going to pray for their sides. This also is praying for relationships. We're going to pray for who is walking with them side by side throughout life, their friends, the people that they choose to walk side by side in relationship. We know that will affect their choices, their character, and their conduct for good or bad. We know scripture tells us bad company corrupts good character, right? So we're going to pray for those friends. But I also want to just say here, I think as a parent, one thing, my initial reaction would have been to surround my child with only Christian people all the time. But you know what? If that had been the case for me, I would have never become a Christian through that family, because this mother knew that I was not a Christian and that my family had struggles, but yet she loved me. So as we pray for the friends and the friendships that our children have throughout life, don't close the door to other kids that you might have an influence on, and pray for those people too. But we do want to pray that they will have two or three really strong Christian friends that they can go through life with. Then we're going to move down to sexuality. And this is, we're praying that our children will embrace and celebrate their God-given gender of their birth. And again, I am not praying my opinion. It's only scripture that we're praying here, straight from the Bible. So we're praying that they'll embrace their gender and that they'll practice sexual purity in a very sexually saturated culture, very difficult culture that we live in to remain cool. But we're going to pray that they will, that we're going to pray against promiscuity, and we're going to pray for restraint. Then we're going to move down to the legs, and that's that they'll stand on godly principles. Because as we know, we live in a very wishy-washy world. I mean, what was illegal yesterday is now legal today. And what was bad yesterday is good and just fine and dandy today. So it's just ever-changing. So we have to stand on the truth. And if we don't, the world becomes a very confusing place. The one sentence that I say in the book is that the undertow of uncertainty can pull them out to sea with a riptide of questions and shifting tides of change. So we're going to pray that they will stand firm. And then we're going to pray for their knees. And this is what I said, that most important decision they'll ever make is that decision to follow Christ. We're going to pray that they'll come to Christ, and then that they will continue to grow and mature spiritually throughout life. And then we get to the final landmark, and that is their feet, and that's the path they take. As you pray for their feet, the path they take on their journey of life, the path they take today, tomorrow, and just throughout life, and how they keep in step with God throughout the life. So as you see, we've gone from what they think about to the path of feet and the path they take. And again, takes you about 7 minutes. Took us a lot longer to explain it than to do it. So 7 minutes a day to pray those scriptures over your children.
Well, and Sharon, you got a really, really special email from a reader who shared their experience with you in this journey. And I would love for you to share that with our listeners.
That was so precious. She said that she was using the book to pray these areas over her children each day. And while she was doing it, her 7-year-old son came down getting ready. He was ready for school, came down the stairs. And she said, well, honey, let me pray for you. I'm going to pray these scriptures over you. And she placed her hand on each one of these areas as she covered him in prayer. And then he said, 7 years old now. He said, now, Mommy, let me do that for you.
Oh.
And he put his little precious hand over each area and prayed a prayer. And he wasn't praying scripture over her, but he prayed for each area of her from her mind all the way down to her feet. And then she sent me a picture of his little hands and her hands. So I have it on my desk just as a reminder.
That is so unbelievably precious. And I think, you know, that's one of the things I love about being a pediatric nurse, Sharon, is that kids are just amazing. They are capable of so much more than we think, and they see the world in such a pure way in those young days. And I just, I absolutely love it. Well, one of the things that I hear from parents about a lot, Sharon, and the greatest sources of heartbreak is having a prodigal son or daughter. And you talk about specifically praying for a prodigal son or daughter and praying for reconciliation and restoration. What encouragement can you give to those parents who just feel like, I'm praying, I'm waiting, and nothing is happening?
Well, I had this saying, it's actually from another book too, called When You Don't Like Your Story, but it's, God is always working in the meanwhile. He's always working behind the scenes. And God is always working in a meanwhile to make our pain worthwhile. Now, what in the world am I talking about there? I think that we need to realize when we don't see anything happening, that does not mean that God is not working. And one of the greatest examples of that we see in Scripture is the story of Joseph. And we know Joseph was the boy who had the coat of many colors. But he was the 11th child in a big family, and he had a dream that one day his family, mama and daddy and his brothers, were going to bow down to him. And his brothers already didn't like him. They were so jealous of him because he had this special coat, and he was his father's favorite. But then as they went through life, got to be about 17 years old, his brothers were so jealous of him, he actually had that dream twice. And instead of keeping it to himself, I say maturity loosened his lips, and he told his brothers. He shouldn't have done that. So anyway, they sold him, and they put him in a cistern, told him a big jug, left him. They were going to leave him to die. But then they sold him into slavery to a caravan that was going by. And it says that when he was working as a slave in Potiphar's household, and God was with Joseph. And that's kind of strange to me. God was with Joseph, but he was in slavery. Yes, that's exactly why. Then he was thrown into prison. He was falsely accused of attempted rape. And it says, and God was with Joseph while he was in prison. And finally, we know the end of the story. He ends up interpreting a dream, and he ends up being second in command to the Pharaoh in Egypt. But here's what I want us to think about. Was God working behind the scenes for those 17 years or so between when he was sold into slavery and when he got to Egypt? Absolutely. God was with him through each one of those terrible phases. And I want to encourage every parent that's listening right now that God is always working behind the scenes. And we might not see God doing anything. And we might be like those Israelites walking around the wall, you know, every day. In silence, walking around the Jordan wall, saying, Lord, just throw me a brick. Let me see something. And we might be saying, God, throw me a bone. Let me see something that you're working in my child's life. Just because we don't see it does not mean that he is not working. And you might see your child going through some very painful situations. And that could be when God's working the most. Because, Jessica, I don't know about you, but when I look at the times in my own life when I have grown the most spiritually, it's not when everything's going just right. It's usually during times of struggle. So if we're praying for our children, especially our adult children or those older children, we're praying for them to come to the Lord or come back to the Lord, and we see them struggling, don't think God's not working, because it might be that struggle that they're going through is the very thing that God's going to use to bring them back. Don't give up praying. Don't stop praying. Just because you don't see him working doesn't mean he isn't. Keep praying for your child. And you know what? You don't have to have a perfect faith to pray for your children. Remember that man who took his son, who was possessed by demons, to Jesus' disciples, and they couldn't cast him out. And then the man took him to Jesus, and he said to him, if you can do anything, take pity on us. He was crying out for his child. And Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And then the voice father said, I do believe, help my unbelief. He didn't have a perfect faith, but he had a present faith. So we don't have to have a perfect faith. We don't have to say it just right. We just have to have a present faith, and God will hear your prayers.
Oh, my goodness. Amen, Sharon. And, you know, it's funny because I always say on this show, kids do not need a perfect parent because, for one, no such thing exists. None of us are perfect. We have all fallen terribly, but kids do need a present parent. And I love how you talked about, you know, the present faith. We don't need a perfect faith. We don't need to be perfect parents with perfect faith. We need to be present parents with present faith. And I want to say again, one of the sentences that you said, because I think it bears repeating, you said, God is always working in the meanwhile to make your story worthwhile. I think that is so powerful. And you know, Sharon, when we think about praying and we say we ask God for patience, God does not work like a fairy godmother. You know, he does not, oh, let me wave the magic wand or rub the magic lamp and, oh, instantly we have patience. What God will give us is seasons of life. He will give us circumstances where we can learn and practice that patience. And it's so hard. And I think about the words from James, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, because the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And we actually talked about this yesterday on the show, asking God for wisdom, because he gives freely and abundantly to those who ask. And these are just simple things. You don't have to be a perfect Christian to pray for your kids. God knows our heart. And we know that scripture says that the Holy Spirit even intercedes on our behalf with groans that can't be expressed. And I love the scripture from Revelation too that talks about how when we say prayers, they swirl in a bowl before God's throne. I mean, that is pretty powerful and amazing. And I think today, Sharon, you've just done such a great job of really giving encouragement to parents who can feel very discouraged, very depressed, feeling like they're swimming upstream, feeling like they're failing, being afraid of failing, afraid of messing up their kid, just trying so hard. And we don't get that instant gratification that we're doing a good job as parents. It's not like our kids, you know, are Chia Pets and, you know, a couple days later we pray and give them some advice and it's fine. So what final words of encouragement would you give for parents who feel like giving up or giving in? What can they find in this 30-day guide of interceding for their children?
Well, I want to say this too, talking about being the perfect parent. There was only one perfect parent, and that was God. And I always tell people, kind of tongue in cheek, God's the only perfect parent, and look how his kids turned out. So
exactly.
That gives you encouragement. So one thing that I want to say is that, you know, none of us will be a perfect parent. We've established that. But we can all be praying parents who confidently pray for God's protection and provision in the physical and spiritual realms with our children. And it's prayer is just a conduit. It's like a vessel through which God's power is released and his will basically is brought to earth as it is in heaven. I mean, that's what Jesus said when he prayed, and he taught us what we call the Lord's Prayer, is it's releasing God's power as it is in heaven down to earth. And I want to say too that just remember, don't try to be. You're not going to be a perfect parent, but you can be a praying parent. And then it tells us in scripture. You mentioned James too, that the prayer of a righteous person, the King James says, I think it says, availeth much, or has great results. Another translation says. And somebody might think, yeah, but I'm not a righteous person. Well, listen, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, if you have made that decision, God declares that you are a righteous person. Regardless of your actions, you have been declared righteous. So that verse pertains to you, dear friend.
Oh, my goodness.
Your prayers avail much.
availeth much. I love that. I'm an old-fashioned girl at heart, and when you start getting the availeth, I just like it, and I feel like we should close with a hymn, maybe, you know? But the book is called Praying for Your Child from Head to Toe. We need a doxology here, Sharon, I think. It's a 30-day guide to powerful and effective scripture-based prayers. And I'll also tell you, right here on American Family Radio, we have the Hour of Intercession that's hosted by Pastor Joseph Parker. And if you want to hear somebody pray that's going to really stir your spirit, that would be a great place to go. Well, thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.